It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Len Levinson and directed by Max Hutto. Before we hear tonight's story, Fibber and Molly would like you to listen to this.
Folks, I'd venture to say that most of you know what real trouble, sickness, and accidents can bring a family, especially if it's Dad who gets ill or injured. Not only are medical expenses budget-breaking, but if Dad's salary check is cut off when he's unable to work, things can be rough and tough for the whole family.
We're talking, of course, about the Prudential Insurance Company's new income protection and hospital and surgical expense plans.
These new plans of Prudential's are outstanding in the field of sickness and accident insurance. They've got certain protective features few other plans have. So, friends, to get the facts on how you can meet the high cost of sickness and accidents for your family, we've got a folder we want you to have.
It'll give you an idea how the Prudential can tailor sickness and accident plans to fit your family needs. Just write your name and address on a card with the words sickness and accident,
and send it to Fibber, McGee, and Molly, Box 1212, Newark, New Jersey.
That's Box 1212, Newark, New Jersey. Do it today, huh?
It's important for you and for your family.
The person we are about to meet, Mr. McGee. Place, his basement workshop. City, Wistful Vista. State, one of great excitement as he hurries up the basement steps yelling,
"Hey, Molly, oh, Molly. Hey, Molly, where are you, kiddo? Oh, there you are. Look, boy, oh, boy, look at this, will you?"
"Now, take it easy, McGee. My goodness, what have you discovered now?"
"Well?"
"A cure for the common cold? Perpetual motion? A way to put a split atom back together?"
"No, no, no. I think perhaps we have something a lot more profitable than that this time, my dear Millicent."
"Millicent?"
"Well, now that we'll probably begin to travel in the upper brackets of high society, my dear, I fear we shall have to change your name to something a little more society-sounding. I feel that Millicent is a bit more..."
"Oh, hold it, hold everything. What brought on this sudden attack of wealth and high society?"
"This, my dear, this old sheet of parchment." "Careful. This piece of parchment is old and it's yellow, but so is pure gold. And this looks to me like our own personal Fort Knox, kiddo. I wonder what the poor people are doing."
"I know what one of them is doing. She's wondering what the dickens her husband is talking about. Let me look at that hunk of old paper. Where did you find it?"
"Remember that old steel engraving of Andrew Johnson I bought a few weeks ago and tried to present it to the grammar school?"
"Only the grammar school turned out to be named for Andrew Jackson? Oh, indeed I do."
"Well, the back of the picture was loose, and I started to fix it a while ago, and this fell out."
"Oh?"
"People used to hide their valuables in picture frames, you know. Just read it. Read what it says. Read that."
"Hmm. Certificate of ownership."
"Hmm.
500 shares. The India Company."
"Know all men by thee prevent that the unrefined pepper, the pimabity grant of lamb for ripe and pimabity..."
"No, no, no, McGee. Those are S's, not F's. They wrote funny in those days, you know."
"Oh, I see. Well, you know what this is, don't you? It's a stock certificate from one of the oldest and the biggest companies in the world. I read all about the India Company in Teeny's history book."
"Really? You mean this company?"
"This outfit owned and operated railroads, maharajas, and diamond mines, and the British fleet. Why, this hunk of paper is probably worth a fortune."
"Here we go again. What makes you think so?"
"Who's that?"
"Probably the Chase National Bank wanting to borrow some money. Come in."
"Well, if it isn't our beloved old family physician. Pray enter, Fur."
"Huh?"
"Come in, Dr. Gamble. We've just struck it rich again."
"But I want you to know, Doctor, that after my great good fortune, you'll find that I shall not change one whit."
"That's the worst news I've heard all day. What's with him this time, Molly? Uranium in his backyard? Find a pearl in his oatmeal, or what?"
"Show it to the doctor, dearie. See what he thinks."
"Ah, what would that big blister buster know about finance?"
"Enough to know that it's pronounced finance, doughhead."
"All right. Just cast your beady little eyes on this, you big skeptic. See if you can tell me what it is."
"Hmm. Well, it's an interesting-looking thing. Stock certificate, huh?"
"A very brilliant deduction. You hear that, Molly? He just reads that one line there that says certificate of ownership, 500 shares, and immediately he knows it's a stock certificate. Doctor, you are a brain."
"Gosh, dearie. Sure is an old one, isn't it, Doctor?"
"Yes. Gee, this is interesting, McGee. I'm trying to make out those signatures at the bottom."
"Just be careful you don't rub out anything. That rubbing it out might knock $2-3 million off of the value of it."
"I hardly think it's possible to knock $2-3 million off this thing, McGee."
"Oh, yeah? I don't think I like the way you said that, Doctor. You are not, I hope, hinting that this certificate is a forgery or something.
No, of course not. What would be the sense of forging one of these things?
No? Why not, Doctor?
Well, this is a certificate of the India Company, dated 1724, 500 shares in an exploration company.
You betcha.
Monopoly on the fur trade, exclusive right to commerce on the high seas.
Yeah, that's what I just said, so...
Well, a couple of years later, this whole scheme blew sky high, worthless.
What are you talking about? The India Company got to be one of the richest outfits in the world. Why, Clive of India...
Oh, that was the East India Company, Sonny. This was for the West Indies, and it's known in all the history books as the Mississippi Bubble.
Ha-ha! I've heard of the Mississippi Bubble.
Mississippi Bubble?
McGee, you've been gypped again, even if it didn't cost you a cent.
Leave it there.
There's more fun with the McGee shortly.
What have Viceroy's got that other filter tip cigarettes haven't got?
What have Viceroy's got that other filter tip cigarettes haven't got?
What have Viceroy's got that other filter tip cigarettes haven't got?
Yes, what have Viceroy's got? The answer is 20,000 tiny filters in every Viceroy tip. That's right. Inside every Viceroy tip is a vast network of 20,000 individual filters to filter your smoke over and over again. You get only the full, rich taste of Viceroy's choice tobaccos. And Viceroy's draw freely, smoothly. So the next time you hear this question,
what have Viceroy's got that other filter tip cigarettes haven't got?
You know the answer. 20,000 tiny filters in every Viceroy tip. No wonder more people smoke Viceroy's than any other filter tip cigarette in the world. Get Viceroy's today. King size filter tip. Only a penny or two more than cigarettes without filters.
What I never should have done, of course, I never should have let Doc Gamble look at this stock certificate in the first place.
Well, it wouldn't make any difference.
This was known as the Mississippi Bubble, he says. Worthless, he says. Him and his big, fat education.
Well, forget it. You were a millionaire for about 10 minutes there, and that's longer than most people.
Grocery boy!
The groceries. Put them on the sink, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hi there, daughter. Hello, Mississippi. How's Bubbles?
Who told you about that?
Who do you think, McGee?
Yeah. That overstuffed, gabby, baggy pill shover. Gamble, that's who.
Told me you were a millionaire for a minute there, Johnny. I'm sorry for your trouble, Johnny, but it sure makes interesting conversation. Everybody I tell it to gets quite a boot.
You tell it to anybody else and you'll get a boot, all right. Darn that Doc Gamble anyhow. I bet this stock certificate is worth something. To somebody. Somewhere.
Well, if you find a sucker, Johnny, leave me know. If you can sell that thing, I got a few shares of Brooklyn Bridge I'd like to unload.
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah, I always like to leave them laughing, kids.
Yeah.
So long, daughter. A blowing Mississippi bubbles. Sippy bubbles in the air.
Curbstone comedian. I'd like to show him and Doc Gamble. Hey.
What are you going to do?
Hand me the phone book, Tootsie. I just got a flash. I'll give Doc Gamble something to laugh out of the other corner of his mouth about yet. As the atom bomb said, you just watch my smoke. Hand me the book. You knew good and well that anything as old as that stock certificate ought to be worth money as an antique.
Why, of course.
So after I phoned about 9 antique shoppies, one of them suggested the county museum.
I don't know why we didn't think of that ourselves.
Well,
that is the logical place for this thing. You talked to the man, huh?
Yep. Mr. Appleheimer, the curator, said this baby was worth anywhere from 25 to 50 bucks.
Really?
Boy, oh boy, will Doc Gamble's face be red when he sees me get 50 bucks for this worthless, he says, stock certificate. I phoned him to meet us out here.
Meet us here?
Yep. Told him it was urgent. Told him I had a big surprise for him. Now, let me see. Have I got the parchment? Yeah, here's the envelope. Hop out, kiddo.
Thank you. This is a beautiful museum, you know that? We haven't been here in years. We ought to come out more often.
You betcha. Anytime I can pick up 50 bucks out here, I will. Let me open the door for you. Go ahead.
Let's ask the man at the desk over here.
Pardon me. We got an appointment with the curator here. Mr. Appleheimer.
I'm Appleheimer, sir. You're Mr. McGee?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is my wife, Mrs. McGee.
How do you do, I'm sure.
A pleasure, Mrs. McGee.
Here's the document I phoned you about.
Ah, yes. Oh, I've seen one of these in Paris, you know. At the Museum de Clichy on the Rue Bittely. Have you ever been there?
Huh? No, no, no. I marched under the Arc de Triomphe, though, on the first Armistice Day. It was raining.
Well, I would hazard a guess. No, I'll say it's a certainty. This is a genuine Mississippi bubble stock certificate in excellent condition.
Meaning worth about 50 smackers, huh?
A conservative valuation.
Well, then, McGee, everything seems to have turned out fine, hasn't it?
I'll say. Now, if you'd like to hand over the 50, Mr. Appleheimer.
What? Oh, I hope I haven't led you into a misapprehension, Mr. McGee.
What you mean, Bud?
This certainly is worth $50, but we have no appropriation to purchase it.
Oh.
We barely had money to buy enough coal this winter to keep our statues from freezing.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear. We'd like to have it, but wait. I've an idea. Mrs. McGee.
Yes, Mr. Appleheimer?
Why don't you persuade your husband to donate this interesting and valuable document to the museum?
Donate? Give it away?
Be a great civic gesture, sir.
What?
Then we could hang it in a handsome frame on the wall, and below it on a brass plate, it would say, Gift of Mr. and Mrs. Fibber McGee.
What do you think, dearie?
A brass plate, huh?
Oh, hello there, McGee, Molly. Why did you want me to come hightailing it all the way out here?
Mr. Appleheimer, this is one of our local general practitioners, a Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Charlie. How's the bursitis?
Better the last few days, George.
Oh. Well, McGee, what'd you haul me out here for? What's the big surprise?
I thought you might wish to be present, Doctor, when I made the presentation of this valuable and interesting document worth $50 at a conservative valuation. That right, Mr. Appleheimer?
Yes, Mr. McGee.
To our county museum. To be suitably framed and hung up on the wall with a brass plate under it saying, Gift of Mr. and Mrs. Fibber McGee.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. McGee.
Oh, this is a surprise. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment. Extra! Extra! Yes, this week's Saturday Evening Post brings you a big extra. A magnificent album of great American paintings by Norman Rockwell. The beloved artist whose brilliantly human covers for the Saturday Evening Post have inspired millions. Here are 19 true masterpieces of Americana, selected from hundreds of Norman Rockwell's most memorable post covers and illustrations. And the album is right in the center of this week's Saturday Evening Post. Easy to remove and save. What's more, each and every painting is beautifully colored and suitable for framing. Post editor Ben Hibb says, For many years, our readers have been beseeching us to reprint some of the great Rockwell favorites. This Norman Rockwell album is our answer to that demand. Remember, this week's Saturday Evening Post, with your magnificent album of Norman Rockwell paintings, is on sale now. Be sure to get your copy today.
Hey, Molly.
Yes?
Have you got a few bucks I could borrow in the Sugar Bowl or any place? I had to give my last $4 to Mr. Appleheimer at the museum.
What? After you gave him that antique stock certificate?
Yep.
Why on earth did you have to give him $4, too?
To pay for the brass plate that goes underneath it.
Ooh.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber McGee and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed, with Bill Thompson as the old-timer and Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. Mr. Appleheimer was played by Charlie Seal. Well, tomorrow night, McGee gets involved in a raffle, but good. This is John Wall saying, see you then.
Remember to join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.